Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Joyous Journeys Over 60. I'm Jane Ray, and I'm here with my podcast partner,
Andrea Stein.
And we're going to talk about a topic near, I think, to both of our hearts.
Yes, indeed.
And it's going to be food.
Love to eat.
Love to eat, but need to eat.
Yes.
And we're not going to talk about the health aspects of, right. of healthy eating and healthy lifestyles. There's a lot of resources about that. But food plays an important role in a joyous journey over 60.
Food creates community. Think back. What creates community as a family? You sit and have dinner together around a table. Now, this happens way less today than it used to. But traditionally, and in many cases still today, sitting around a table, eating a meal together, and the conversations that come out of that, that forges a bond that is so strong that it's not going to be broken for years, maybe for the rest of life. It is that experience of eating together a meal that is deeply powerful and spiritual.
Absolutely. And food also, I think, plays a role in how we self-heal. You know, there are those that say you could use food as medication, that if you're, you know, we've all heard the term comfort food.
Comfort.
You know, the rom-com movies always talk about, you know, if you're sad, you eat a quart of ice cream.
Right.
And, you know, they're not talking about doing anything else. They're talking about, okay, let's go feed ourselves. And part of it is you're feeding your body.
Right.
But you're also feeding your mind. And in many cases, you're feeding your soul.
Right.
Through the simple act of putting food in your mouth.
Right. There is, I often wondered about, you know, when we use the phrase comfort food, it's usually associated with certain kinds of food, ice cream, something that tends to be very hearty and heavy. But I'm not even sure that comfort food is about a specific, you know, kind of food that you're eating. I think there is a different dimension that when we are in need of comfort, you know, whether we have just experienced a disappointment, feel depressed or down, whatever it is, and just the act of eating and strengthening our body and strengthening our soul, there's comfort in that act of eating. Now, you know, we can't push it to the extreme of just, you know, keep eating every single day as much as we wanted to find comfort, because there's some physical problems that come with that, obviously. But food is not just about the nutrition and the physicality of it. There is a deeply emotional aspect to food. There is a deeply spiritual aspect to food. And very often, it is that aspect that really that energizes us.
And comfort food is interesting because sometimes it evokes a memory. So it could be something that your mother or your grandmother made and you remember going to their house. It could be a meal you had at a restaurant that for whatever reason was celebrating an occasion. Food actually can evoke a memory.
Yes.
And make you feel good or bad because you've feeding yourself to punish yourself. That's a whole different conversation. But food has such an emotional relationship with our bodies and our minds that give us joy, give us comfort, sometimes are almost self-medicating. They have the same result as, you know, calming you down. That's why the quart of ice cream, It has so many different roles in our life. You know, finding a new restaurant and that experience, you know, finding your inner foodie. And, you know, whether you're living in the same place you've lived for a long time or you're in a new place, but that whole exploration aspect of finding food. We're not hunters anymore. We're not gatherers anymore. Going to a farmer's market and finding, I love going to farmer's markets.
Right.
And here in Fort Myers, we have a really good one. And maybe somebody is selling something that they've homemade
right.
that is ethnic and you've never tried it before, or fruits and vegetables that have right. been grown organically. There's something very satisfying.
You know, we've met a couple on the farmer's market here on Sanibel, and they're from Germany as we are, as I am. And so I started German to them, and they're making pastries. The exact same way. The taste is exactly the same as I remember it growing up in Germany. I haven't had these specific tastes in 40 years. The first time I tried this, I said, oh my God, I'm feeling like a child again. You know, it's not like this fancy or special, but it brings back memories. And by doing that, it brings comfort. And I want that, you know. So there is this aspect of food bringing back memories. And these memories may have a certain powerful emotional impact. When my wife and I were dating, and the first time she introduced me to her parents, there was a very specific meal that she prepared. Nothing fancy. Red cabbage. I love red cabbage. Boiled potatoes. It's Germany, so boiled potatoes. And chicken, rotisserie chicken. So nothing fancy, but why? I mean, whenever I have this combination today, chicken, rotisserie chicken, red cabbage, potatoes, something inside of me calms down. And something inside of me, I love this. I'm not even sure if it's about the taste or about the memory. I think it's more about the memory than it is about the taste, because nothing really fancy about that meal, but food brings back memories, and that's powerful.
I think food also has a very important role in connections.
Yes.
So I know that when I was working, and if we were about to have a contentious meeting, you know, but when I was, before I had my own business, I was incorporated. And if I had to go meet with other department heads and I knew it wasn't going to go well, I always ordered in a pizza, because you can't fight with food in your mouth, right? So there, it has a role.
Yes.
That really does diffuse situations, because if you're breaking bread together, then there is a camaraderie there. There's a connection there, whether you're not necessarily on the same side of a discussion or an argument, there's something about it. There's something about going out to dinner with friends or family. It's where you go is interesting and having that common experience, but it's also the peace of sitting at a table, and you may sit there for hours just talking. Or if you haven't seen somebody for a long time, chances are good you're going to say, well, why don't we meet at a restaurant or a coffee shop, right? Why don't we break bread together? And even though you may not think of it that way, food, particularly at this age, because you may be reconnecting with people you haven't seen in a long time. You may see your family and you don't get to see them every day. You may have a shared experience with your partner or your spouse. And the fun of finding a new place and then telling other people about it afterwards. There's such a social and emotional connection. And it isn't just our mouth celebrating. It's our brain and our heart celebrating as well. Food can make you happy. Now, I know the nutritionists and the doctors don't necessarily want to hear that, but food can make you happy. Yes.
And I think, I love what you said, Jane. You can't fight if you eat. There's something in there that is so powerful. You know, as a pastor, I often think about one of the key founding moments of our faith is Jesus coming together with his 12 friends and having dinner together. We call it the Passover, celebrating the Passover, and we ritualized it from there on out. But it really, what happened is they ate together. They had dinner together. And there was something that forged them together. That moment, it would change the world. Started with eating together. I don't think that's a coincidence. There is something so powerful, as you said, you know, you go out and eat dinner with friends, with your spouse. There is something so powerful in that it changes something inside of you. It creates a bond that is so powerful. And you know, to be intentional about this, you know, whether it's about creating community, creating a new bond, you know, reconnecting to a person. Sometimes it's as simple as taking the time of eating together. Put the phone aside. Don't check the news. Don't check the text messages. Don't check the emails. Don't check the TVs in the background. Just eat together and talk to each other. That's powerful.
It's communion. I mean, in the truest definition of the word, it is communion. And so, really two thoughts about that. First of all, you know, we talk about finding community. And when we say finding community or finding where you belong, always sounds like a big community, right? Like you should join the 100-person knitting circle.
Right.
Or you should join a country club. Or you. Sometimes finding community is you meet a new person and you say, hey, let's go to lunch. Yeah, you free next week? Let's have lunch together. Or, you know, couple of couples say, hey, why don't we plan to go to dinner, go out to dinner together? And that's where you get to know each other more, because it is less intimidating getting to know somebody new, whether, again, it's a new friend, whether it's another couple, whether it's a group of people, something less intimidating, less insecure about, particularly sitting in a public place, maybe with a glass of wine, and a meal. And suddenly, new friends become comfortable friends.
You know, one of the truly successful programs that we're doing at Peace here, you know, being a seasonal church, a lot of people coming, you know, early January, and Florida is really, really nice. You know, as we call it, let's do dinner. In essence, we're just, you know, people, you know, one of our volunteers divides people up into dinner groups. So they meet once a month. They can go to a restaurant or meet in the home, wherever it is. People that don't know each other at all, strangers together, have dinner, January, February, March, find a restaurant or meet at home. And the friendships that were born out of these dinner groups, they're lasting for years and years and years, because there is something so powerful coming together and just eating together and talking to each other. It's so much easier to get to know another person when you share a meal.
Yeah.
If you don't have a meal there, and now obviously a good meal goes with a glass of wine, I'm German, with a glass of beer, whatever it is, you know, it doesn't matter. But you forge community when you share a meal.
And you're sharing an experience.
Yeah.
And I think whether it's the experience in somebody's home, whether it's the experience in a restaurant, even if it was a bad experience in the restaurant, like the food was terrible,
yeah,
you have that shared experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well. You know, and just to share one thing. So my husband and I like to cruise. And so when you cruise, you get a choice of whether you want to dine just the two of you, or if you want to dine at a table with other people. We always choose other people. Always. Because you know what? It's so much fun to sit around. I'm probably never going to see these people again after
right.
we get off the ship. But it is so much fun talking to people. And sometimes you get somebody at the table that like you kind of like, oh, well, I don't see myself being friends with them. But it's just fun for an hour and a half, 2 hours to just sit there with other people and learn about them and share a little bit of, and then you talk about the food or what are you going to order off the menu. Conversation becomes also very easy.
Right.
Because the first conversation is, so what looks good, right? What on the menu looks good? What do you think you're going to order? Oh, well, that looks good.
But
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Suddenly the conversation opens and now it can move
right.
in any direction that you want it to move in. So also being in a situation where you can interact with other people in kind of a safe way, because after you get up from the table, everybody goes their own way. And you may say, hey, hi, how are you?
Right.
But it doesn't feed those insecurities and those other pieces.
And you know, it's so hard when you get to know another person. Often you don't know, do we have anything in common? What are we going to talk about? Is it going to be awkward? Is there going to be silence? Do I need to keep the conversation going? Everyone likes to eat. So
yeah.
If you said, have dinner, there's always, you know, there is a food. And as you said, hey, does that look good? I hate pasta. I need a steak. You know, I like seafood, whatever it is. Everyone likes to eat. So it's so much easier to build a relationship over a shared dinner than it is over whatever else there is. Because food ties us all together. We all like it. We all need it. We all want it. And that is kind of a common denominator.
So let's talk about the other side of it, where food can be lonely.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about in a previous episode right. about loneliness. And I always say, particularly when you're alone, maybe you've lost a partner, you know, the dissolution of marriage or
right.
somebody passed away. Maybe you've moved to a new place and you're on your own. Dinner can be very lonely.
Can be very lonely. I see it here in Fort Myers, you know, where this time of the year, summer, when Florida is miserably hot and humid and a lot of people are leaving, And so many people they share, I'm the only person, you know, in my condo complex, you know, this a big hallway, come January, February is buzzing. No, I'm eating dinner all by myself. And I don't even want to eat it all because I don't care.
I don't want to cook for
myself. I don't want to cook for myself. And I don't care about going to a restaurant. I just sit alone at a table and it doesn't matter. It becomes a very, very lonely experience. And that loneliness becomes very, very painful. It hurts, you know. And so because somehow we are designed to eat dinner together with other people. And this goes back now to the community, you know, finding a community where I can, even if it's not every day, where I can share, you know, a dinner together. And I'm not just sitting there and let me just grab a bowl of cereals to put something in my mouth and to be done with it. You know, that's lonely. We need this community.
Yeah. And so what I find interesting is some of the independent living place, most of the independent living places, assisted living places, if you're in that situation, they do have communal dining. They have dining rooms. There are dining groups. You know, I mentioned on the last one about Meetup, there are foodie groups.
Right.
Now that's harder because you have to kind of step into the unknown or whatever. Churches often host dinners. Or I think one of the hardest things I ever had to learn, and I will tell you, it was hard learning to go to a restaurant by myself.
Yeah.
One of the things I find very interesting lately is counters in nice restaurants. Sitting at the counter seems to be a thing. Like I was at a restaurant where you needed reservations and getting a counter reservation was harder than getting a table reservation.
Really?
Yeah. So they're now doing it where you sit at a counter and you're like right next to the kitchen.
Right.
And you're kind of interacting with the chef or the whatever. And there's a line of people and you don't know whether they're together or they're on their own or whatever. So you find a restaurant that has a counter and you're looking to go to a restaurant by yourself.
Right.
Counter is a really easy place to sit by yourself because you could talk to the person next to you or you don't have to talk to the person next to you, but you don't have to feel that intimidation of sitting at a table by yourself.
And who would you talk to if you're sitting by a table by yourself and, you know, there's a physical separation to the next table, I can't yell across the room, you know, so that you're almost sentenced to not talk to anyone. So sitting at a counter like this facilitates that conversation, that community building.
Yeah, I've been to three restaurants lately that actually have counter seating.
Interesting.
And it's funny because I always thought I wouldn't want to sit at the counter. Right. Some people will eat at the bar, right?
Right.
Because that's a counter of sorts.
Right.
But find those tools or those techniques to get out of the house.
Get out of the house.
With dinner. Even if you're in a relationship. Sometimes just eating the dinner, the two of you every night, you pull out your phone and whatever, get out of the house, right? Find a way, even if you do takeout and go sit in the park and eat it there because you're still surrounded by people.
You still
right? Find a way to eat food, not alone.
And I think what you just mentioned, Jane, is a different point, and we touched on this earlier. Just don't check your phone. Don't follow the news on the back screen there. And there's going to be enough time for you to check your text messages after. If you eat dinner, it is about building relationships, talking to other people, you know, and you don't have a chance to do that if you keep, you know, following the news, responding to this text message, responding to that email. Yes, there are times when you are so busy, you need to, you know, stay connected, you know, but if that becomes a regular norm that you are just eating a dinner in order to have, you know, answer some other text messages or emails that you've gotten, you defeat the purpose. Food is powerful because it creates community and relationships. Emails and text messages can undo that. So just leave it there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And listen, we're not telling you to go out to dinner every single night.
Right.
Right. Maybe pick one night a week.
Right.
If you're in a lonely situation to do that and pick a different restaurant
right.
each time. Lunch. If you meet a new friend, ask them to lunch. It's a lot less intimidating right. than dinner. And it's easier to say, hey, let's go have lunch.
Yes.
as opposed to let's make plans to go have dinner and that never happens. So there are techniques and tools that you can use where food can be an enabler,
right,
of your joyous journey over 60, because everybody likes to eat, right?
Everyone likes to eat. And how often have I heard it? Yeah, we should do dinner at some point. Hey, let's meet tomorrow at 6 o'clock. You choose the restaurant. Oh, I can choose the restaurant. But be intentional, because it's so easy. Yeah, we should do it. And then it never happens. Hey, let's meet tomorrow or Thursday. Do you have time there? To be very intentional about that.
Yeah. Or even if you're in a, so let's say you're a volunteer and whatever you were doing is ended. Say to people, hey, anybody want to go have lunch?
Absolutely. Because there is a natural continuation of the fellowship, the community that built there. And then you just translate it to a different place. And suddenly you can talk about other stuff as well.
Yeah. So this conversation's made me hungry. I hope it's made you hungry too, but hungry for really recognizing the power of food in a joyous journey over 60, whether you're exploring new restaurants, you're becoming a foodie, you're looking to connect with new relationships or connect with existing relationships, the social, the emotional, the physical aspects of food really should not be underestimated. And I hope you'll reflect on them. As always, Andreas, I said, it's always fun talking to you about this. Again, we kind of started off on a different topic, but I think we really delved deep into it.
I think so. So enjoy a nice dinner with friends or family and enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the food.
Wishing you a blessed day. I'm Jane Ray.
Andrea Stein.
And we'll see you again.